Cow Plunge.
Fourth Grade Challenge.
Diabetes Expo.
As a key sponsor of Mustangs Baseball and Chiefs Training Camp, Heartland is the number one fan for a healthy St. Joseph.
Welcome to St. Joseph, Missouri, everybody. It's Chiefs Training Camp Live, presented by Heartland Health. Josh Looney, Mitch Holthus, down the final stretch here in St. Joe. Mitch, it's coming to an end. Been exciting training camp, no doubt.
I think it's been one of the best. Honestly, this is my 19th year with this team, and it's right up there, if it's not the best. There's incredible chemistry on this team, the best I've ever seen it. I tweeted that out just a little bit ago, and I think some of that chemistry has due to the surroundings here. Missouri Western's done a fabulous job with this camp. Best job they've done yet, I think. And this has been a really, really good camp.
That's been a great camp. Let's jump right into some personnel stuff. Mitch, I wrote a little thing on it yesterday, and you and I have been kind of holding off on talking about it on this show and what we've noticed here at camp, because we weren't sure if Romeo Crennel was going to show it this preseason. We didn't want to give a competitive advantage away, but he went ahead and showed it. So let's talk about a look with Abe Elam. It came on the pick, so we can run the pick, and if you'll see the interception when we do run it. Eric Berry, this is a six defensive back set. Eric Berry lines up at linebacker level, Mitch, in a joker type role. Abe Elam's back at safety with Kendrick Lewis. Javier, you see their blocking was in a sub package role. Then your outside corners are Stanford Route and Jaleel Brown, which will be Brandon Flowers when the season starts. And when you see an end zone shot of this on the replay, you'll see Berry lined up at linebacker level. So essentially, Mitch, this is what you and I have been kind of salivating over here at training camp, because this alignment essentially gives Eric Berry a license to wreak havoc. He's at linebacker level, so what can he do? Well, he can drop into pass coverage as he did there. He can blitz. He can play the run. And they can do that because of Abe Elam. I talked about it being underrated signing. They like him in the back line, so it gives more versatility. And you see Eric Berry now kind of running around. No one knows where he's going to line up in dime situation. I love that defensive package.
I sure do. And let's just start front to back. It gives Alan Bailey and Dontari Poe a chance to contribute and contribute immediately in their careers by what they're asked to do. They're not asked to two-gap and hold up the offensive line. Then you have your three linebackers. Just imagine your opposing quarterback, and looking straight across from you is Derek Johnson. To your left is Tom Bahali. To your right is Justin Houston. Oh, and by the way, just kind of floating around like a PT boat within the flotilla is Eric Berry.
Now, this is not a new defense. It's just new personnel in the defense.
I get the sense Romeo loves this defense.
Yes, I get the sense loves as well. It. Where did this defense hatch? I don't know how Romeo handled it prior to Kansas City. I remember it 2010 at Indianapolis against Peyton Manning and the Colts, that John McGraw was playing that kind of joker role, whatever you want to call it, at linebacker level. And since then, they kind of kept going forward with it. McGraw played it pretty much all of Berry's rookie year in 2010. Last year, McGraw played it as well, but they didn't have the talent behind at safety. You'd have to – Savvy Piscitelli would sometimes be in there. Rashard Langford would sometimes be in there. You know, they did not – especially with McGraw moving up, they didn't have the personnel like an Abe Elam to back there with Kendrick Lewis. So it's not a new defense. It's just new personnel. And I can't say enough how I love Eric Berry being able to free up. I think it makes the defense all that more dangerous.
Well, some would say the knock on it is Eric Berry is not in coverage, but he might be, because they can do a zillion different things with him. The coverage won't be in deep coverage. So Abe Elam has got to play deep coverage in this defense, which he did with the interception that we saw. Plus, I mean, the knock on Abe Elam in Dallas was, you know, that Dallas secondary got torched and they were criticized. But in this defense, it kind of fits Abe Elam too, in the fact that you're not asking him to be Troy Polamalu. Okay? Mm-hmm. You're asking him just to do what he can do. I think it plays to the strengths of everybody we mention in this defense. It protects a Stanford route sometimes on living on an island out there, because I think you're going to get incredible pressure on the quarterback. Now, what will teams do try to do against this? They'll try to run draws, screens, quick hits of guys just scraping out of the backfield with backs and try to force those linebackers or Eric to cover. But so far in this training camp, this defense has proven that it can do a little bit of everything. When they ran it against Arizona, Arizona couldn't handle it.
But that's why I like Barry in there. He's such a special player. Mm-hmm. And we've seen him line up as a corner against Larry Fitzgerald in this training camp. But just go back to when he came out of college and what they say. You know, he's the complete safety. They would blitz him. They'd play him in the box. That's why I like this defense, Mitch, because if they want to gash you on a – this is obviously a passing defense. So it happened in the third and long against Arizona when the Chiefs showed it on that mm-hmm. interception. So if you want to go try and spread out the defense, you've got Eric Berry playing there with Derek Johnson. If they try a third down draw, I like him in there stepping up and filling up against the run. He's a player who can do that. And a lot of teams don't have guys that can do that. And I think it's a perfect – compliment to his skill set, get him off of that back line. A. Bealum essentially just played a deep half there. Him and Kendrick Lewis are playing deep halves, help over top. He had some, if they manned or not on the outside, I couldn't tell in the shots that we had with route. And you see Barry basically dropped to a hook curl zone. And so Elam was just picking back there. You had route underneath, and he's able to make a play on the ball. I talked to Abe Elam after practice yesterday about not only his new role, but really just how he's interacting with this Chiefs defense, because he's been on the field a lot for this team, and it looks like he's going to play a big role for the Chiefs in 2012. Chiefs safety Abe Elam with us. Good first impression to Chiefs fans Friday night with the interception. Take us through that play.
Well, you know, I was just reading my keys. Saw the quarterback scramble, you know, playing my deep part of the field, and was able to get a good break on the ball and got some good blocks from my teammates, and was trying to get to the end zone.
You feel fully entrenched in this defense, comfortable, caught up from getting here late when you did in the offseason program?
It's still a work in progress. You know, I've done a good job, you know, working with the guys. You know, coaches have got me prepared to play, and, you know, it's exciting. You know, just got to continue to work and continue to improve.
And they seem to have settled you into a bit of a role, especially in sub-package defense, with Eric kind of playing that joker linebacker slash defensive back look, and you playing the traditional safety back with Kendrick. How is that look going for you? And is it something you've done in the past?
Well, I'm just taking advantage of my opportunity, you know, getting a chance to go out on the field and play, fit in my role, and wherever I'm asked to go, you know, I'm definitely going to go in and do my best.
How has your relationship grown with Eric and Kendrick over the last few weeks?
Man, it's exciting, you know, working with some of the good young secondary guys in the secondary, and, you know, they communicate well, and they have a lot of playing experience, so definitely helps all of us.
Is this defense better when Eric can be more flexible and not just have to play in, on the back and get a guy like you that can play in the back and maybe let Eric be free to play in the box, maybe blitz a little bit?
Well, I just think in our secondary, you know, we have a nice nucleus of guys that are very, very athletic and can play multiple positions, and that just makes us more dangerous.
And you're a guy who can play multiple positions as well.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I think we have a good core of guys, and I think we'll work well together.
And keep in mind, Mitch, the Chiefs started six different players at free or strong safety last year. Of those six, let's see, I can name off the top of my head, John McGraw, still a free agent. He was one. Sai Piscitelli, still a free agent. He was two. Rashard Langford just signed with week with Detroit. He was three. Donald Washington was four. He's still in camp with the Chiefs. Kendrick Lewis was five. And Eric Berry for a series was six. So there's your six players who's made starts last season, a rotation at safety. Another thing I like about Abe Elam, and I mentioned the versatility there, and he was kind of humble about what he said. What I like about Elam is he can play both free and strong safety, Mitch. So if Eric or Kendrick were to go down, you don't have – it limits that cycle. He's a guy who can play both of those positions.
And we've seen Travis Daniel, who can play both corner and safety, so he can maybe be a fourth safety if you're trying to figure out the math of how many DBs you're going to keep on this team. And Travis had a good start to this camp till he had kind of got slowed down with his leg injury. But honestly, there's just a lot of pieces to this defense and a lot of pieces that kind of fit together, and they can do different things. But Abe Elam is a sneaky pick. But again, with this defense, you're not asking Abe Elam to be out there and be on island and be the best safety in the National Football League either. You can play to his skills and play complementary football within this defense. It's got a chance to be really good.
And before we see, you can kind of see the mold they like in that sub-package role where Barry's play at linebacker level. Jaleel Brown was working a lot.
Yep, he was there initially.
Initially, right. They liked him throughout the offseason. And since then, and actually they started Barry even before Flowers' injury a couple days, but obviously Jaleel Brown working at that outside cornerback position right now. They're getting a long look at him while Eric Berry continues to. It's been over 2 weeks now, Mitch, slower than I think most anticipated with the heel injury he has. It doesn't sound like he's going to go for practice again today, which would probably make him doubtful heading into this weekend's second preseason game, although he has tested it multiple times over the last few weeks. He seems like he's ready to get back, but in Flowers' absence, the good thing is they're getting a long look at Jaleel Brown. They like him in sub-package role. They really like him there. But can he play outside and be relied upon outside if something were to happen to Rout or Flowers? There's no doubt in my mind those are going to be your two starters this year, but what happens after them and where can Brown play? It's nice to at least for Jaleel Brown to get that experience that he's gotten.
Yeah, no question. He got some great experience with the Arizona practices last week in the Arizona game, and he'll get it again this week against St. Louis. The Flowers situation does start to become a concern. It's interesting because you peel away the days and the camp kind of starts, or preseason starts to take a different focus after you break camp in St. Joe. These 3 weeks have been about preparation and getting there and kind of trying to chisel out your 53. But once you get past the St. Louis preseason game, you'll start to feel it next week at Arrowhead when the team is there. You start thinking Atlanta Falcons. And when you start thinking Atlanta Falcons, you start thinking, Roddy White, Julio Jones, Henry Douglas. This team has got some great speed on the outside, and you want Brandon Flowers to be ready to go that opening week against the Falcons. And where you don't have to throw Jaleel Brown out there to have to rely on him on his more snaps than you want to. So the Flowers injury to me starts to become a real part of the discussion as this moves into next week.
Yeah, we'll see if he can get out there on the practice field today. As I said, it doesn't look likely, and which would put him doubtful for this Saturday's game. Mitch, tomorrow for the final show, you and I are going to kind of go through our standouts of camp and more of guys probably who may have not. We're not going to probably talk about Eric Winston or John Baldwin. Those are the guys where everyone's heard of John Baldwin being a standout of camp. Everyone's heard of Eric Winston, expect him to be a standout of camp. You and I are going to kind of talk about the guys who flew under the radar and did well out here and put themselves in the position to make their roster, maybe as a reserve, right? The stuff that, you know, in this training camp, most of the battles are happening lower on the roster, right, which is a good thing. So that's what we're going to be looking at tomorrow. Romeo Crennel was asked that question for him, and he gave an interesting answer today. His kind of surprise of camp was Dexter McCluster. Here's what Romeo Crennel had to say about Dex.
Dexter has done a nice job in the roles that we put him in and asked him to do some things, and he's been not an overall surprise, but he's been good at what we've asked him to do. And there was some question about asking him to do too much, where we're going to play him, and all of those kind of things. And he's handled it very nicely.
So focusing in on the one job, the wide receiver, you think that's helping out quite a bit?
I think it will help us out quite a bit.
Mr. Finn, your impressions of Dexter McCluster. We saw him get open and have a key catch in the initial drive with the Peyton Hillis, then scored a touchdown on. He's been working pretty much just out of the slot here at camp. How have you seen him progress in this offense?
A very precise route runner. I think, you know, that was one of the more asked questions in the 60 days prior to camp. What goes on with Dexter McCluster? Everybody's excited about Devin Wiley, what he could potentially do. What do you do with McCluster? Well, they figured out what to do with McCluster. He's a slot receiver.
Right.
Now, he'll play some Z. He's not totally in the slot in their scheme, but the point is he's a wide receiver. I don't even count him as a running back anymore, although he wears 22. He had one or two Wildcat snaps that I saw, but mostly he's been a wide receiver. Now, what's there to like about him? The quarterbacks, whether it's Castle or Quinn or Stanzi, have got confidence in him, and he's been a very good route runner. The two big plays he made the other night, the 3rd-and-3 play, which kept the drive alive on that first scoring drive, kind of a smash route where it's a precise route. You make a fake inside turn, and then you've got to pivot to the outside. And he ran it like he's been playing wide receiver his whole life. And then the deep out that he ran that led to the touchdown, I believe on the second drive, on the Sean Drone touchdown, it might have been the first drive, whatever. No, it was the second drive. But anyway, the point is he's running routes like a receiver now. So count him as a receiver and count him as a potentially dangerous receiver because he's going to get one-on-one coverage. Baldwin the other night got double covered. Breston was very quiet the other night. I mean, Breston's not that far removed from 1,100-yard season. Dex is going to get single covered inside in that slot, and he can do some damage in there.
You mentioned Breston being quiet. I think once Dwayne Bowe does get back on this roster, fantasy players, I think it's good for the Chiefs, it's going to be bad for fantasy players. I think you're going to see that with John Baldwin, Steve Breston, Dexter McCluster, Dwayne Bowe even. There's going to be games where you're going to see Dwayne Bowe 10 catches, 125 yards, two touchdowns. Then you might see him one catch for 12 yards, and John Baldwin has the big one. And then you might have Breston, five catches, 73 yards, this kind of type of day he has. There's just so many targets, and you have Hillis out of the background. I think Matt Cassel is at a point in his career. Brian Daboll, what he's preaching is they're going to take this game plan, and if a team wants to double up on Dwayne Bowe or double up on John Baldwin or what they do, they're just going to go to different parts of the field. And we saw that in the opening drive. McCluster was a big part of that. And so I guess against Arizona, it was Steve Breston's day to kind of be the guy who wasn't in the stat book. But the offense succeeded. And I think you're going to see that rotate. And that's my prediction, at least this year, is teams try different things against the Chiefs' offense. I think the Chiefs are going, okay, this is what they're giving us. Then we'll take it over here with Moyaki, or we'll have Charles run the out route this time. I think that's going to be a theme for this offense.
Opponent-specific is the way you can handle this, depending on what the opponent does from a scheme standpoint, or if they've got a personnel issue that you can find and exploit. The Chiefs can do that now for the first time, man, maybe ever in my tenure. I'm trying to figure out. I can't think of a time that they've had this many options for the whole vertical part and the horizontal part of the field. Here's the other thing. It goes back to my chemistry statement at the very beginning of the show. You don't have guys on this team, I think, that'll say, you got to feed me the ball. I got to have 80 catches. You better give me 80 catches and 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. Let's go. Let's go. That happens in this league a lot. And
more than people want to know or know. It happens a ton in this league.
And honestly, fantasy football's contributed a little bit to them. Because when these guys sit with their agents with contracts and fantasy football and endorsements and stuff, feed me the ball. Get me 80-some catches, 1,200 yards, and I want to be big-time freak. I want to be fantasy freak. This football team, you don't get a sniff of that from any of these guys. Not one sniff, not from any one of those guys that we mentioned. Breston, to me, is a team player. And yet, he doesn't have to be great, but he's got to be good enough over there to make sure that he is a viable option. He only had two touchdown catches last year, both in the Indianapolis game. But Steve is a pro. Steve's a pro in the way he runs routes and the way he handles approaching every day in practice. And he's not a guy that's going to say, hey, if you don't give me 50 balls, I'm going to be ticked off and, you know, go to Congress or something. And so that, to me, is you've got to have guys like that to make this offense work.
And as you say that, I think the natural thing, fans will say, well, look at Dwayne Bowe. He's not at camp. He's been the number one receiver. He's going to want the football. Maybe, Mitch, maybe. He's not here. We don't get that vibe. But if you look at Dwayne Bowe's career with the Chiefs, he hasn't been a guy who – he's been a guy who's caught 10 catches in a game and been the touchdown guy. And then
some,
he's been
but mostly his big games
doesn't.
Have been five catches for 100 yards. He's been more of a 20-yard average guy. He's not a Reggie Wayne catch 10 for 144. That's not his deal.
And when he doesn't have the catches, there's plenty of games where you look at Dwayne Bowe's one catch, 9 yards. You don't hear him chirping after those games.
No.
So there's really nothing in Dwayne Bowe's history that would say that he wouldn't be able to accept the way that this offense is moving forward in 2012.
I hope not. I really hope not. And you're right. There hasn't been
there
in the
hasn't
past.
Been. We'll see when
and
he gets
And I hope
here.
There's not in the
yet.
Present because right now that would be he would be a fish out of water with this group. This group, you can go right down the line. Peyton Hillis, Jamal Charles, they're not sitting there going, hey, feed me, get me carries. I got to be the man. None of that. Because they sense how good this team can be if they're not that way. And it's a big, long season, and they're going to get you're going to get the football some. It's just be explosive when you get it.
Brian Daboll, one of the most popular men in Kansas City at this time, a guy who's kind of flown under the radar this camp and had a good camp, as always. He's really had a good camp the last several years. Brandon Albert, the left tackle, has done just seems to be just doing a fine job here at camp. Obviously, it's a contract year for Brandon, a big year for Brandon and his future. We talked to him yesterday about Brian Daboll in this offense and what he sees from that left tackle position.
Did you get better with that preseason game? Does it feel, I mean, preseason, I know it's only preseason, but it hadn't looked pretty around here the last few years.
Well, you know, we did a good job. You know, a lot of room for improvement. You know, we got a long season ahead, so. You know, we take whatever we did that game and improve on and keep moving on.
What was it, an emphasis either from the coaches or yourselves to come out and have a good performance in the preseason?
Well, you always want to have perform, you know, in practice or in the game. No matter what the situation is, you always want to perform well. And, you know, it's happy we did good and that game's behind us. Now we got a new game ahead of us and, you know, the season, you know, ahead of us.
As far as Brian Daboll's offense, is it starting to become second nature?
You know, we're doing a good job every day learning the system. Coach Daboll's doing a good job, and the coaches under him are doing a good job teaching the system and teaching the technique. And we're just working hard.
Now, Brandon Albert, Eric Winston, you've got some good bookends on this offense, Mitch. I think there is still question behind them, as there is at any team. We have our fan sign in the chat room this weekend. Barry Richardson, who started right tackle for the last 2 years in Kansas City, maybe starting for the St. Louis Rams. So it kind of shows you when injuries happen. And once you get to that third tackle, it's an important spot. But there is a step down from your two starters. In Kansas City, there's guys that have a lot of potential. David Mims, Donald Stevenson, Jeff Allen, who's playing both guard and tackle. But they're still raw players. All three of those guys are very raw. You have two rookies and a guy who was a small college player that's a developmental guy in Mims. And it's interesting. That's why you need Albert and Winston to remain healthy. And I guess that's probably, to me, the biggest question on this offensive line now that Rodney Hudson seems to – he had a good test on this first game running the offensive line, and it looked like he did a pretty good job, sans the one play that Castle almost got killed on. But to me, that's good. If you're not worried about your starting tackles and you're worried about your third, that's a good sign for the offense.
Oh, no question. The other good sign is what Brandon Albert did the other day in the Arizona game when I watched the tape. I saw him working on taking his game to another level. There seems to be a contagious feeling across the offensive line, too. And here's what I saw was not only when the play went to his side, but when the play's going away from him, to be able to, whether he's going to cut block or whether he's going to wall off a backside linebacker or seal off a backside pursuer, this offense and this offensive line could be really good if they do that as a habit. I saw Brandon Albert working on that in the Arizona game because the cutback run may be there in these zone plays and stuff. So to me, that's something I've not seen a lot from Brandon in the past, is being a really good non-play side blocker, if that makes sense. Because in this offense, hey, the non-play side may end up being the play side. And so I think that's big for him. He's got to stay healthy, as you mentioned, and he's had health issues, let's be honest. If you go back through his career, even going back to his 2008 training camp, his first year. Now, Winston, on the other side, has played 87 straight games. He's played 5.5 straight years and never missed a start. So you would hope that that would continue, and he's shown signs that that would continue in training camp. But Brandon, B.A., is the key by standing, you know, upright. The other thing with those two tackles, either one, we talk about all the weapons in this offense. We reach commas, guy, comma, guy, comma, guy, comma. Ideally, this offense would like to get 4 and 5 guys out on routes. That means you're going to be a lot in 5 and 5.5 man protections. So those guys off the edge, Brandon Albert, Eric Winston, are going to have to protect the edge. The other night on a TE twist, they got beat inside in Lilja's gap working with Brandon Albert. But that's also a product of having outside pressure. But they're going to have to block the edges because this is not going to be an offense that's going to sit there with 7-man protection and send 3 guys out on a route.
We have several, several in the chat room asking about Trick Shot Tanny. Will he get to play in this game? Well, let's back up. We'll get to that in a second. Ricky Stanzu will work with the twos on Saturday. I don't think there's any big surprise there. I don't think he earned it with his play. I don't think Brady Quinn didn't earn it with his play. This is the common theme we've seen going back all the way into the offseason, Mitch. One day it's Ricky with the twos, the next day it's Quinn. In fact, this week in practice, they've rotated daily. And with the way things shook out in the first game, I think everyone knew that more than likely it would be Stanty getting his shot to run with the twos to get his chance. And Romeo Crennel confirmed that today. It will be Matt Castle starting, Stanty number one off the bench on Saturday night with Quinn working with the threes. He said that right now this race is still too close to call, and he wants to see it. I would assume that you're not surprised by this either.
No, in fact, this is kind of what I expected. And this is what we both expected, really. I think this race is going to be too close to call going all the way into the Green Bay preseason game.
It's election season, right?
Yes, it's election season. We've got all our polling. It's tied at 49 apiece or whatever. And I don't think there's any alarm that it's not going to be decided prior to that. I could see it going all the way into the Green Bay game in the preseason with it being no decision made there. This is a big night for Ricky Stanzi. He had the two completions to Maneri. in the game. He led to a touchdown of the short field thanks to the Wiley punt return. So Ricky did some good things. So did Brady Quinn, did some good things. But I would say probably not enough where you're going, wow, that's just awesome. So this is a big game for both of these guys. But I think in specific for Ricky, because he does run in there right after Matt Cassel in this game for the first time in his NFL career. He will get that shot.
Yeah, it should be interesting to watch it. People ask about Alex Tanny. Will he play? If I have to guess, Mitch, I'm probably going to say no. The reason I would say no this week is because I'm just looking at practice reps. And they're giving – Tanny's kind of been the odd man out in practice as this rotation goes. You know, there's only so many practice reps you can get. Matt Cass is going to get his starter's reps. And what they've done, and we've talked about throughout the show, the rest of these reps, they're cutting right down the middle between Quinn and Stanzi. And in Tanny's case, the most of work he's getting is in one-on-one drills. He'll throw on the side. But I'm talking team snaps. When they go into 11 versus 11, Tanny hasn't worked in several weeks in getting team snaps. When he starts getting those snaps, I would think that means he might get to play in the game. Maybe that will happen out here this weekend. But if Tanny's not getting a lot of snaps in practice, I wouldn't think that means he's going to be getting much in the game.
No, he could make a lot of money just going on the road doing his trick shot thing. It's like a circus deal. But seriously, how many Division III quarterbacks are on rosters right now in the National Football League? Here's my point. Alex Tanny's on an NFL roster. So it's not something to take for granted because people are saying, well, he's not getting a shot. Yeah, he's getting a shot. He's here. And he gets to be around these guys. And so it morphs into next spring. It morphs into next summer. It morphs into next camp. Whether it's here or someplace else, there's got to be a point of origin, particularly when you're a Division III quarterback. And for Alex Tanny, that's right here. So I don't ever have a feeling of I'm feeling sorry for Alex Tanny because I know what's going on with Brady Quinn and Stanzi, and they need tons of work because the coaching staff have got to figure out what do they have in these two guys and where do they slot going into the 2012 season. That's a huge priority. So if that takes snaps away from Alex Tanny in this camp, so be it now, but I'm not counting Alex out at some point.
Yeah, and I do think we will see Alex in the game at some point. Maybe it's not until the third preseason game. Maybe it's not until the fourth. Maybe he makes it through the first round of cuts and it's the fourth preseason game.
There aren't very
many
cuts on that first
game. There aren't a lot. I do think we will see Alex Tanny in a game, but asking for my opinion, do I think we'll see him on Saturday? I haven't seen anything in practice that says, oh, look, he got a series. Maybe they're repping him for a series. So we'll have to wait and see with Tanny. He was the product of a highlight yesterday, Mitch, during the walkthrough. They had a trick shot competition, the first one we've seen. Tanny was the only player to hit the upright. The quarterbacks were also joined by Ryan Lilja, Eric Winston, Steve Breston, John Baldwin. Tanny was the only player to hit the upright from 25 yards away, and then they also were thrown at a porta potty, and all four quarterbacks hit that one. None of the other guys did. The Liljas and the Winstons.
I was disappointed in Lilja. Yeah. I mean, really? What are you here? Come on. I mean, he's married to a beautiful woman. People think that quarterbacks get to marry the beautiful women. No, he's married to a beautiful woman.
Yeah, just ask Casey Wigman.
Exactly. Look what linemen are doing these days. So it's like, come on, Lil, he'll live up to it. He's an athlete. Shawnee Mission Northwest, let's go. A lot of people in Lake Quivira are counting
on him. Yeah, he didn't represent so hot in the trick shot. So Tanny there, at least still with the trick shot skills.
I say he plays the last series of the Seattle game, and you tell Seattle, you just ask him, okay, whatever the score is at that point, we're going to put a trash can up in like three, whatever, where the Ford fan zone is, you know, and one of their three guys, they got three guys battling for the starting job. You got Russell Wilson, you got Flynn, and you got, who am I leaving out?
Tavares Jackson.
Yep. Give us all three of those guys. We got trick shot. Who can hit the trash can up in the Ford fan zone in 3:14? Whoever wins it, whoever hits it, wins it, wins the game.
Ball game over.
David and Goliath. David wins, Philistines lose. Just put it way up there. We'll put our trick shot guy up against anybody Seattle's got.
Fans actually would probably be okay with that.
They probably
would. At the end of a preseason game, but let's do some trick shots for the last 5 minutes of the game. They'd probably be okay with that. We'll end up with our tomorrow with our final live show of training camp, and it will be who has stood out over the 3 weeks in St. Joseph. Mitch and I will give you our surprises of camp as we break that down on our final day from St. Joseph. We'll see you tomorrow, 2 to 2:30, right here on KCChiefs.com. It's Chiefs Training Camp Live, presented by Heartland Health.
Cow Plunge.
Fourth Grade Challenge.
Diabetes Expo.
As a key sponsor of Mustangs baseball and Chiefs training camp, Heartland is the number one fan for a healthy St. Joseph.